You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Okay, so I have to ask apologies of the audience here because I know that yesterday was a lot more fun and you got the hijinks for a couple of days and I'm drinking tequila on air and we're celebrating freedom. But then over the course of the evening, it felt more obvious than ever that democracy and freedom are being challenged in a way that hasn't existed in our lifetimes. And so normally I would want to talk to Bomani Jones and Mina Kimes and some of the people at ESPN that we love having around here and doing the show the way we'd normally do the show. But we have a big stable of people at ESPN or outside of ESPN that we can go to get really smart commentary at a time that some things are under siege in America that are appalling. And so we bring in John Amici now, and we're just going to be taping two shows in one day because we're a pirate ship and we're untethered and we're not working tomorrow because I can't keep paying for security and the things that we need around here every day because I'm hemorrhaging money as we try to get a startup off the air. And just we're calling our friends and my friends to talk about these things as America feels like it's falling apart a little bit.
We're playing two today?
We're playing two today, yeah. Yes. And so hopefully you will get enough of what you like about the hijinks of the show. But I want to go to my serious friends about serious commentary. And, of course, we will also do Stump the Meech at the end to waste an important man's time with giggles and snorts. And it's what he'd rather do, actually, yep, than being it eloquent than being eloquent man on cue.
It's what I'm here for.
All right. So we will leave that time at the end for this. But let's talk about the serious stuff. We just talked to Stan Van Gundy, and I don't want to be alarmist, but the stuff he was saying about we're already at civil war and all of this is going to get worse in America, and I don't know why America would think that it couldn't come, that democracy and freedom couldn't come under siege, and then it's more than just about Trump, that it's about the hate he's fomented with a lot of aggrieved white people, John, aggrieved white people. And we were talking about earlier with Stan, if those had been black people storming that Capitol, there would have been bodies rolling down the steps, and it wouldn't have been the police letting people into the building. And the aggrieved white people even come from a position of privilege because black people are looking at that yesterday and saying, you got to be kidding me. Where are the rubber bullets? Where are the arrests? Like, how the hell is that allowed to happen? Well, you would have been on our necks for 8.5 minutes and made sure every one of us died in the street.
I'm devastated about all this. I'm devastated about what is happening currently. I would love to have been the person to come on, and I was the person not many months ago saying to people who were talking about civil war, reminding them that this kind of inflammatory language is unhelpful, reminding them that there was an actual civil war where huge numbers of people died. And so making this, equating these two things was inappropriate. And yet now, I am so angry. And I'm not even in America. I'm so angry that I feel every morning when I was watching this morning at 5 o'clock, it felt as if my rage was trying to choke me. I have been right there at the precipice of that point where you're so angry you just want to cry all day. Because I look at this and I don't think people understand how consequential it is. This isn't just about a few hundred, a few thousand people storming into the offices of power and essentially treating it as if it was a pantomime stage with no consequences whatsoever. This isn't about Trump anymore. This is about a group of people who have been unleashed. They've been unleashed by him. Yes, they've been empowered. Yes, they've been provoked. Yes, they've been pushed and cajoled and manipulated. But these are people who have been waiting for this opportunity. And it's time that we started addressing this. There are good people and there are bad people. And I think the kind of people who understand privilege and on the one hand enough to know that they can storm into a federal building and be, I watched pictures of women being escorted out, having their hands held by police with riot shields. To understand privilege so deeply and yet on the other hand deny it in the face of talking about race or disability or LGBT is egregious. I still think civil war is too much, but at the same time, I don't understand what cogent argument recovers this situation. They don't believe that Joe Biden's a legitimate president. God forbid anything happens to him in the first term and he becomes incapacitated and the VP has to step up, because then I think there is trouble.
John, help me with something. I need to establish for the new audience, because we've got a whole lot of new audience right now, John Amici's credentials. I've talked to him for 20 years as a smart basketball guy on a show I did on ESPN Radio very early on. He'd come on with me very early on Sunday mornings, and he, Shane Battier, and O'Donnell Foyle would come on and be the smart basketball guys. Over the course of much time, John Amici and I became friends. John Amici was very obviously trying, while still playing in the NBA, was trying to tell me that he was gay, and I was an idiot, and I had no gaydar, and he tried to show me with rainbow towels in his house. And
he met you at a gay bar.
Yes, he did. He took me to a gay bar, and I still didn't understand because I'm an idiot. And anyway, Tim Hardaway then comes on our show, and the history is long. Defames, John Amici after John Amici came out in a book saying he was gay. And John Amici is remarkably credentialed. He is as smart a person as I have ever met inside or outside of sports. John, I know you try to be humble, and I know we make fun of you about, like, your lofty status in England and your titles and stuff. And you're a clinical psychologist as well. Can you just please give people what your resume is so I can give this the bulk it deserves and people know who's talking right now? A seminal, the best basketball in the history, a basketball player in the history of your country, and it is not nearly the most interesting thing about you.
Yeah, and even that's in dispute, let's face it. Yeah, there are better British basketball players. They may not have British passports anymore, but they were. So I'm an organizational psychologist. I used to be a marriage and family therapist. I am a fellow at the Royal Society of Public Health, where I'm the director of the UK's largest hospital trust, about 2.5 billion quid, 23,000 staff, nurses and doctors, obviously during this pandemic, a pretty big deal. I'm not an academic in the real sense, but I'm applied academic in that I am I'm a PhD, but I'm an applied academic. I try and use the research to help people perform better, deliver better, be better. And right now, it never has been a more interesting time to be a psychologist, to watch as the world pulls itself apart, and to watch as, I mean, talk about a trick of psychology. I don't believe that Donald Trump is a clever man, but never before have I seen someone be able to show such overt and a clear and explicit disdain for a group of people in white working class people. He has utter contempt for them, and yet at the same time has convinced them that he is their only savior, a man who would no more speak or shake hands with someone he would consider below his station than he would offer solace to an immigrant. and you, yet somehow he's manipulated society.
You were thinking Luol Deng and Ben Gordon there, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'll at least take Luol Deng. Ben Gordon, I'm not sure, but Luol, I'll take
I had no idea they were British. Billy, put it on the poll, please. At Levitard Show, did you know Luol Deng and Ben Gordon were British? But no, John, explain it to me. How and why did that happen? I want to get into, you've been very eloquent, more eloquent than anyone I've heard on the subject of what privilege is. But before we get to that, how and why did that happen? How and why was a buffoon able to manipulate people? A buffoon who is not good at subtlety. He's not good at acting. He's not good at dancing. He is not a sinister genius mind able to mobilize people with Hitler speeches or Fidel Castro speeches. It's an oaf. It's a clown car that has mobilized this. It is not... It is not sophisticated in any way. It is awful. It is going to be criminal if we're able to use our justice system to continue to keep freedom. It's going to be criminal that what is in the White House right now, John. How is that able to manipulate the American people? Are we that dumb?
No. This is not about dumb. I mean, everybody likes to conflate a government with its people. We do this with China. We imagine because the Chinese government is a way that all Chinese people are that way. It happens with Americans. During the Obama presidency, most people in Europe thought Americans to be the most erudite and clever people in the world. Less so now. But Americans aren't stupid. Americans have the same foibles and biases as everybody else. Everybody in the world wants to feel innocent and righteous. Everybody wants to feel innocent and as if the world is fair. And so when presented with the opportunity to pretend that you are not part of the problem, those people over there, whoever they may be, leftists, liberals, progressives, Black people, the gays, who it might be, when presented with the opportunity to personify the problem in the body of another person, most people will take that. Oh, it's not me, it's them. And then you enter an environment where politician after politician after politician will reverse their opinion in order to maintain power and support that kind of idea. People who reviled Donald Trump during the primaries, the GOP primaries, who then turned around and are his staunchest supporters now. In that environment, it's not hard to understand when given the chance to be blameless for the situation of the world, most people will take that. When given a chance to understand that your tough situation is not your fault, it is not your lack of industry, not your lack of care, not your lack of preparation, not your lack of effort or work. It's that person over there. They've done it. And then when an entire industry and mechanism in, frankly, Fox News and others come together to continually send you those messages, you suddenly realize, you know what, it's right, it's not my fault. And so when somebody convinces you that immigrants are the problem, and then a man comes along and tells you he'll build a wall which will stop the immigrants, it's not a massive leap of faith to understand that that's your man right there. Forgetting about the fact that the necessity of workers who might be undocumented to pick your lettuce and your tomato and to make sure that Chipotle can still run. There are immensely wealthy men, mostly men, in politics, in America and in Britain, who have managed to convince people with nothing that they're just like them. They've managed to convince some. We've got a man in England called Jacob Rees-Mogg. He is essentially an 18th century gentleman transported to now. He still, at the age of 50, has his lifelong nanny. He does, not his children. He does. He somehow managed to, he wears three-piece suits and a monocle since he was 8. And he's managed to convince working-class people of every color in this country that he's going to meet you on the bus and have a chat and give a damn about you. This is orchestrated. It's only to the benefit of a very small number of people. I don't know how we get back from this. I don't know how we climb back from this.
You didn't take any solace yesterday because it has been depressing talking to you and Stan. You took no solace yesterday from the Republicans who were so interested in getting close to the power and the money at whatever cost, led by, you know, better have my money, Mitch McConnell. You were deriving no solace yesterday from the fact that the Republicans finally took off their masks and decided to lead a little bit, but only when totally scared shitless did everyone start talking about the importance of freedom. I reacted to much of that to be soothed by it, but also to think to myself, oh, too late, all of you guys now, like Clay Travis in sports, that shit stain, Clay Travis, who has been having the president on, President Trump on for how long in sports? Because it's the only place Trump could go. It was the only ally he had, and now Clay Travis is backing away saying, wait a minute, I didn't say anything about violence. Join me on OutKick in 30 minutes. We'll talk about it. All of these enablers in this country that enabled this point. You took no solace last night, John, from the fact that the Republican leaders now took off their mask and said, well, this is enough. This is where we draw the line, only when we're scared shitless.
How terrible is that? Personal, reputational recovery on the backs of dead people. There are 300,000 dead Americans from COVID. I think a little more than that at this point. Where were they? Wearing a mask is not oppression. No more than telling people to wear a seatbelt. It's about, the thing about mask wearing, and I know the thing about mask wearing is its utter dignity. The fact that wearing a mask doesn't protect you, it protects the people around you. It's the mutuality of mask wearing that makes it work. That's why Asian countries are now recovering, because they wear masks. And where were these people who are now apologizing for what's happened yesterday when they could have saved lives 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago, 4 years ago? Where were they when we mocked disabled people or said that we could grab women's genitalia and there's, I quote, nothing they can do about it? You don't get to recover in the final minute and pretend that you were always there. No, these people will be shamed in history. There's nothing Mitch McConnell or any of his ilk can do now.
Okay, so this is super depressing from every side and every way. Can we do a little stump the meat now? I mean,
I want
all your thoughts on this, but I want to try and do the show around.
I'm going to kick John's ass today.
Yeah, all right, you better, all right. Because he won the last game, the all first right. time he's ever won.
All right, John.
I've got a hand
All right,
today.
Well, let's see here.
John, I have never spoken worse in my life than I have the last 6 months. I am telling you.
All right, John, here's the thing, though, John. I need a little more time from you today. I know you're very busy. You're very credentialed. But I want your voice on this. I think it's important. We've been cultivating it for 20 years, you and I, John, like, because you're on these topics, you reach people. They hear you. You have a way of saying things that they haven't heard before. But we've got to sprinkle in some of our show. So we're going to do Stump the Meech a little differently. We're going to throw Stump the Meech in here one at a time, and then we're going to do laughs and fun, and then I'm going to ask you a serious question in the middle of this, and that's how we're going to play Stump the Meech today, where we're going to go from light to funny here.
Little back and forth, little tennis game, serious, just, funny, yes, serious,
you guys,
funny.
So you guys do your show, because this is always a tension around here. I'm social justice warrior, Dan Wokatard, and then I bring my friends on, and we talk about highfalutin things, and the fun gets sucked out of the room.
This is our show. Today's an important day. It's an important conversation. I'm glad you and Meech are having it, and not me and you. But now we play Stump the Meech for a minute. Just to break it up. There's nothing wrong with that. This is our show, Dan.
I am bypassing the normal 5 selections for a massive double show 7.
Okay, wow. So we can play. So this is Stump the Meech. This is a great steroid burst of Stump the Meech.
I am telling you, Meech, Mike is so upset, so pissed off that we lost the last game, the first loss we've ever had.
First loss ever.
That Mike promised.
The
last one. Mike has promised me he has saved his absolute my absolute best stuff for you today. I mean, this is exciting.
All right, I'm ready.
Let's go. Let's start with number one here. We always start with an easy one. Mike, you're starting with an easy one. You give the illusion to Meech that he might win.
Good luck.
Oh,
Meech.
Come on.
Good luck. That's the first one, Meech.
Come on. He's going to go 0-7.
I need some. Hold on. Let's hear this.
I said that.
You're 0-1, Meech. Come on.
I got it.
No.
Yeah, you want a hint? I'll even give you a hint.
Oh, he says he's got it.
Okay.
He said he has it.
No hint.
No, I thought that's what he said. No, go
that's
on.
That's his guess.
That's his guess.
Oh, that's your
guess? I'll take a hint.
That was your guess?
All right, I got it.
Well, my hint was that it was two words, and he went with three.
All right.
All right.
Any guesses before we reveal?
No, I have no idea what he said.
One more time.
That is I mean.
Listen. I just want to tell you, Mike, that this kind of anger that you're holding about losing, this is not going to be helpful for you.
Well,
I know it's not going to be helpful for me right now, but it's not going to be helpful for you in the long run.
I'm angry about lots of things, and this is obviously misplaced anger right now, taking it out on
you. I can see this.
Yeah.
All right, John, I had mentioned earlier that I thought that you were profound and eloquent in a way that I hadn't heard expressed on the subject of privilege. It was very much gentle and reaching across the aisle. So without insulting the aggrieved here in America who feel like they have every right in the world to be aggrieved, what do you mean when you say that when you come from a position of privilege, sometimes you don't notice some of the things happening around you until they're storming the Capitol with weaponry that leaves somebody dead in the hallways?
Yeah, I think privilege is about the absence of an impediment. Right? The first thing to say is this. Every single person believes in some kind of privilege. Everybody understands the privilege, for example, of being a native speaker in a country. So whether you're American going to somewhere in Europe or British going somewhere in Europe, you understand the advantage of being a speaker of that language. You understand the advantage, the privilege of being born in a wealthy family versus a poor one, going to a private or independent school versus going to a comprehensive or a state school. We know about these privileges and we understand them. We understand that they provide an advantage. But when you're in them, I went to a grammar school in this country. That's a not a comprehensive school, not a state school. It's a slightly better fee-paying school where I got a bursary. And I took for granted that that's what school was. It never occurred to me that other people went to schools where they just didn't learn stuff, where there was chaos, where there were teachers who were disengaged. That's an advantage I took my entire life through without even considering until I got to witness what other people's schooling experience was like. The problem we have is that oftentimes privilege ends with race and gender. As a man, as men, we have huge privilege. I didn't really think about this. There's a woman who did a Twitter feed, and I'll find it and post it on my Twitter feed after this. But she did this question. She asked women, what would you do if men had a curfew after 9 o'clock? And that's the thing that taught me about male privilege, because I watched the responses from women across the world, and they were so mundane, Dan. They were so ordinary. I'd walk with both my headphones in. I'd run at night. I'd leave my drink at the bar. I'd watch the stars. This is stuff I'd never considered that I couldn't do. The absence of that impediment had never occurred to me because I'd never asked a woman what her experience was like. And when it comes to blackness, I'm a psychologist. I'm a 50-year-old psychologist. I live in a penthouse in Covent Garden. I don't know what the American or Miami equivalent, maybe your house, equivalent of that is, but it's doing all right. And I get stopped and searched 3 times a year. A man in a uniform, in a police uniform, holds me by my arm. And the last time it happened, I was wearing a 3-piece suit. And outside of Leicester Square Tube Station, a man who looked 12 to me, A police officer who looked 12 to me held me by the arm, looked me in the face, and told me that I resembled a description. I was wearing a three-piece suit. I am 6'9", and I have a bushy white beard. I'm genuinely interested to know the doppelganger that I have in London, and I'm aware it's a big city. The reason I say this is because this happens to me three times a year. It hasn't happened in 2020. I just want to be absolutely full disclosure. And that's because the solution to not being stopped and being stopped and searched in the street for me as a large black person is to never leave my house. Most white people have never considered that it could happen. I watch in the before times when there were tourists here in central London, and white people would come up and they would walk up to a police officer who was not facing in their direction. And I would watch incredulous as they approach a police officer from behind and then touch them, tap them on the shoulder, and they would turn around. They would see their faces, their white faces, and they would smile and they would get direction somewhere. And I would watch this enraptured because I am not a lawbreaker. I am unbelievably boring, but I'm terrified of the police because I know how humiliating it is to be held by the arm by a man who looks 12. If you've never considered this, that's a privilege. You never considered the possibility. Every lift, every elevator I get in, I know where everybody's wallet is. Because men in lifts with me, they put their hands on their wallet, on the jacket pocket. Women take their bags from the shoulder closest to me and put it on the shoulder furthest away. And this is happening to me, a psychologist. What is so scary? And it's happening in a lift. And let's face it, I am old and I'm a bit decrepit. But if I'm trapped in a 5-foot by 5-foot box with you going up 40 floors, if I want your wallet, I'm having your wallet. This is the stuff that people don't consider. And it may seem inconsequential to you, but it doesn't happen once. Every day I walk outside in public, I know that I'm a monster. Because that's how people respond to me. They don't look at me and think, there's that clever guy who's got a bit of a fixation with Star Wars. No, they don't think that. They cross the street. That tells you something about yourself that's horrible. And as a white person, you've probably not had that. And it doesn't mean you've never had an interaction with the police. It just means your interaction with the police isn't because of the color of your skin. Privilege is not, it doesn't mean unearned riches. I know that some of the people who are listening to this show right now, they've got nothing like the wealth privilege that I have, nothing like the education privilege that I have. I am a deeply, deeply privileged person. And I admit that every single day. And you know what happens when I do that? Absolutely nothing, except for the fact that I am slightly better at interacting with people without privilege. I am slightly more inquisitive about understanding the ways that I am not impeded that other people are.
John, that was one of the greatest answers to a question I've ever heard on this radio show. Dan, I just want to make sure of one thing. We're doing one stump
that
means per question.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing. He loves the sound of his own voice because it's been...
I'm sorry.
And then we're going to be here for hours.
Yeah, but he's been coddled for 20 years. Everybody like stands around. Listen, he's like a modern-day philosopher. He sits on a rock and shows us how smart he is. Well, show him how he's not that smart, Mike. Bury him in Stugatz's mispronunciation so he can't just be smart guy. Let's go back to fun guy because smart guy is boring, John. And this is what you really want to be doing anyway. So just bury him and stump. Yes, so bury him and stump the meat.
Please,
Have fun with that, Mitch.
Please, Please,
Good luck.
Please, Please,
I think that's please.
Final answer?
No.
No, come on, you coward.
Please,
I think I know what it is.
Please,
You think you know what it is?
Perhaps.
This is going to be so hard. Go ahead and give him a hint. You can commit.
Give me a hint.
Well, it's definitely two words, right?
One word.
Oh my!
He thinks he's fluent in this shit.
I don't know what Stugatz I said.
Stugatz thinks he's fluent in how awful he is at this at speaking.
I've resorted to dirty tactics, and you'll find out why. Final answer, John. Give it to me.
There was no hint. Wow, strong
one word.
I tried to give you a hint. Two words.
You're gonna go.
It's
and
one
seven.
Word.
You're gonna go 0-7, John. You're gonna go 0-7.
I'm just gonna go. Reason.
Please,
it's clean.
This is gonna, a terrible. Not. I mean, really normally hard. I'd be mad at Mike. I'm mad at you, Steve.
Yes,
that
yes.
Is,
for his general incompetence.
Outrageous.
I love you too.
I believe that this radio show has an ability to go both high and low. And ladies and gentlemen, here it is, right in front of you. The stupid guy is going to win. He's going to run up on the score on the eloquent smart guy here because you're going to go 0-7. Because you can't.
That is not for certain yet.
Yes, it is for certain. Those were the first two. Meet you. No idea.
I've come back.
How is this clean? You explain to me. How in God's name or Art Briles' hell is this clean?
Please.
How is it whatever it was?
Please.
Don't say you understood, Stugatz. You thought it was two words. It's the word.
Not the scent.
All right.
It's like Star Wars language.
Now, you're down 0-2 in a series, but a series does not start until a team wins on the road. So you're still in this in a 7-game series.
Shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Shit.
I'm going to come back from this. It's fine.
No, you're not. Right. He just played it twice. Here's and one. You didn't even hear it.
Shit.
Here's a chance to win a game.
Shit. Shit.
You're not coming back. Go ahead. Shit. Just take a guess.
Shit. Shit.
Three words, Mike, right?
Shit.
Is that one word?
It must be.
This is one word.
Shit.
It's got to be one syllable, correct? Let's give him some hint. It's got to be. It's not one syllable.
Yeah, what came out was one syllable.
Wait a minute. You're telling.
All I've got to go with is I've got. I don't think it's one syllable. I think it's probably two. But I'm still going to go with. Well, it's either upset or sit.
Shit.
I'm going to go with sit.
Shit. Shit.
It's a good guess. It's also wrong. That is season.
Of course.
Shit.
There it is. All right, you're 0-3, Meech, and you're going to go 0-7 because the dumb guy beats the smart guy around here as America falls apart, democracy falls apart, and Donald Trump wipes his dick on the Constitution and democracy and freedom and all over the White House.
Again with the dick?
The gangrene dick of Donald Trump that's been God knows where, porn stars and everywhere else.
Now it's gangrene?
It's the gangrene dick.
This is refreshing to hear, I'll tell you.
Thank you, John. Let's do this four now. So you're saying the gangrene dick of Donald Trump is refreshing to hear?
From you, yes.
All right. What else we got here?
Quit. Quit.
I think I know that.
Quit.
I think I know it.
Quit.
I think I know it.
No, but I think we're going to get it wrong. You think quit. It's the one quit. Syllable quit. Court?
Quit.
I was going to say, the hint was you played a
well,
lot
I thought
these,
it
John.
Was court.
Right. Yeah.
Or.
Quit.
Yeah.
Quit. Quit. Quit.
It's not going to be court. Quit. It's not going to be
no, that would be too easy.
Too quit. Obvious.
Quit. Yeah. Too easy.
Quit. Quit.
Is it one
quit.
Syllable, quit. Mike? Quit. Is it one? Quit. Oh, now quit. It's a horse quit. Galloping down quit. The. Yes, quit. We're galloping. Quit. Galloping. Quit. Get away from freedom. Quit. Freedom quit. Is burning quit. Behind quit. Us. It's burning behind us.
Chris, I'm going to stop you right now. Stop giving visual hints on the Zoom.
Chris, what did you just do? Chris, are you trying to help me cheat? Chris,
I didn't even see it.
Chris,
I didn't see it.
Hold on, Chris.
I was so focused.
Hold on.
I
feel bad. He's Chris. Just got nothing. Chris. We're just one
all right.
Syllable.
Chris, what did you just try? Let's see if we can guess it based on your charades. Oh, quit. Quarterback.
Quit.
Quarterback. Quit. That is the word quarterback. He quit. Just dropped back quit. To pass,
quit.
Meech.
Quit. Quit.
Is that
quarterback? Quarterback. That is.
Because if it's quarterback, I'm taking it.
Let's quit. Go. Is
you're
it?
Gonna, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
You cheater.
Really?
You're the
you
one that gave it away,
cheater.
Dan.
Really?
No, you gave it away by pointing quit. Out that Chris quit. Was doing playing
you
charades.
You didn't have to say quarterback. He's British. He might have missed it.
You probably
oh,
would have.
Oh, please. I've spent a little.
No,
I
no you know
state.
Nothing. Meech, you know nothing about sports. How did I not know you were gay when you said one time, I don't like to sweat, and also I feel like I have menstrual cramps today?
Quit.
Yes.
Because the gay bar didn't give it away.
I know.
Listen, I dropped every hint you could possibly need.
Meech, well, how
we sat down. We sat and watched an entire DVD of Cirque du Soleil together.
That's true.
Get the hell out. And he didn't know?
No, I love Cirque du Soleil. Meech, what were you thinking when you took me to a gay bar and I just thought you were trying to get away from, you know, I thought that you were a basketball player and professional basketball, so you wanted a quiet place.
I was incredulous. I thought here we are again with that thing where in America, especially back then, people always had this thing where is he British or is he gay was always the thing anyway. And I just thought you must have thought, oh, yeah, this is what British men do. It is actually what British men do now, but it wasn't back then.
Okay. And so
when did you realize finally that he was gay?
I don't remember. There were rainbows.
It's when I looked at you and I said, Dan, yes. Yes, that's exactly right. Because we were having a conversation and you were like, no, you were doing this hypothetical. You know, it would be incredible. You know, somebody coming out, it'd be so difficult. You know, you know, that would be even hard to understand. And I looked at you and I said, no, it would not be hard to understand. And you were like, oh, and that's how we got to it.
That's amazing, right? I really thought that John was going to be Jackie Robinson in that voice with no, like, I thought that John was going to become the first athlete to go public as gay because he was uniquely qualified of strength, of character, of principle, of eloquence to be an advocate for this cause. And it was too hard for even him. Even him. I don't have that wrong.
I'd already been warned at that point by staff at the Utah Jazz to tone it down. And so it was like, yeah, and let's face it, as much as I like to believe I was decent, I was kind of average. I just hung on there with my fingernails. I think it would have been the kiss of death. I would have been an advocate from Britain.
It would have ended your basketball career, you think, too.
They made it very clear.
Well, the Jazz did. The Jazz made it very clear.
Well, that's why you said that, is that why you ran that afoul of Jerry Sloan?
Yep.
And because he knew you were gay and he wasn't tolerating your gayness?
The rumors circulated. I had a little more of a life in Utah than I did other places. And so the rumors circulated and they did not like that. It's a wholesome family environment, I was told.
Wow, I really ruined Stump the Meech. What else do we have here with seriousness? What do we have? Hit him with another one.
Speech.
I think speech, I know this one. I think I know this one.
Speech. Speech.
It's so much harder when something you say happens to sound like an actual word.
Speech.
Is this one word or
you know
two?
It's not,
I think
right?
I think it's two words, and I think it's a ton of syllables.
Speech.
This is one word.
I would say it's specious, but I don't think you know that word.
Okay, speech, I thought it was two
right.
words. Speech impediment is what I thought, but Mike thinks it's one word.
One word.
Mike knows it's one word.
Mike knows it's one word. Anything you want to pantomime, Chris, because you feel pity for John Amici? Look in the center box there, Meech. See if
I'm watching.
Now we're playing charades.
This is great for a podcast.
Yes, now we're playing charades. Yeah. Chris Cody, what are you doing? Just tell us what you're doing. Go
what
ahead.
What are you doing?
He's turning to his left, and it looks like he's
like,
yelling.
You know
he's
that like thing, head. Like with the meme thing, like the smiley face thing with the person, and then the voice is like, like that's what. Just
speech.
Just go ahead. Terrible clue by an oaf.
It's
terrible
just a
clue.
Speaker.
Terrible.
Speak.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like this new evolution where he's just
getting help.
Yes,
he's killing it at trade, baby.
So what are we?
Well, congratulations for basically
it's
just
two.
Telling
two.
Him.
Right.
Speaker. All right. So it's two and two with a lot of cheating involved.
Speaker.
Let's hear hear the fifth one without Chris giving cheating.
That's the good stuff.
No, you
please.
Know what? Let's allow Chris to cheat here. All right. I would love to see how Chris can pantomime this word.
Ev.
Wait a minute, Billy. Why did you want to get in here?
Well, it's not even just cheating because he's not even he's cheating at charades at cheating at this game because he's talking. And in charades, you can't even talk.
That's true.
That's a good point,
fair,
Bill.
Fair comment,
but in podcasts,
comment,
you have
and
to.
That'll be enough from you.
Excellent.
All right. Let's hear the rest of this again.
Ev. The repeating is actually not as helpful as you
All right, well, just give us a guess so we can be done with it. Let's go. Let's go. Give us a guess. We got to get out of here.
Ev.
Come on, you're not going to get it.
Everybody, I don't know.
Everybody. Everybody's what he's guessing.
It was of.
Of.
Yes!
It was of.
The longest syllable in the world.
Ev.
That was
All right, you've outdone yourself.
Let's go.
I will be ready. I will be ready.
I got the best one for last. This is game 7.
All right, Mitch, this is the money ball. You get this right, you win the whole game.
But wait a minute. There have only been five played, and I thought we were going to go best of seven.
We're up 3-2 here. What we're saying is if Meech gets this one, game over, he wins, okay? This is a money ball. This is for all the marbles.
You good with that, Mike?
I'm at seven.
Okay, so maybe I did. All right, so let's play this anyway. So you've already lost is what you're saying. Meech's already lost?
He's done, but you know what? I'll make an exception if he can crack this
All right,
code.
So this is the money ball, Meech. If you can get this, you win the game.
Chinooka.
Oh, that's a good one.
Chinooka.
That is a good one.
Chinooka.
That is so good.
Chinooka.
That is
you got, Meech.
Chinooka.
You got.
This is a Meech Moneyball situation.
Chinooka.
I love that Meech does not seem to know at all what this is.
Chinooka.
Meech is very busy being like a knight in Britain or whatever it is his status is. And he does not get to hear everything that happens on this show.
I genuinely have no idea what
okay.
this is.
That is Smokey. Chinooka. That is Smokey Robinson.
Chinooka.
And what he is saying is the word
Chinooka.
Hanukkah.
Chinooka.
Meech's head slumps.
Chinooka.
Chinooka.
It's worth losing to that one. That is tremendous.
Chinooka.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We should all celebrate Chinooka.
Chinooka.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.